It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the cinemas and on DVD. Get ready for...
Wait for it!
Film Sociology with WFYI's film guru.
And now let's get the starting lineup for this week's edition of Film Sociology! At 5'10 from Indiana University, starting at producer engineer tonight, Kobe Slago! And at 5'5½ from the Ball State University,
with that intro, Kobe, that means that the members of Europe get to eat this week. They get a royalty check. Welcome, film lovers, to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook.
This show... You said it like it's a question?
I'm sorry, I was hanging out with too many...
I'm on Facebook.
I'm Ron Burgundy.
Who put a question mark in your script?
I know. I read exactly as it's written. Ask Scott Hoke. And the show is also available as a podcast. It's also available on iTunes. And we blog. We are actually the blogging juggernaut of WFYI. If you go check that out at...
filmsociology.tumblr.com.
And the man who likes coming up with audio nuggets of all odd, weird ways, Mr. Fundamentals himself, Kobe Slagle.
All Fundamentals team, right here.
That's right.
Editing with eyes.
I'll explain that joke much later. Now, sitting in with us, let's do her special intro music.
Oh, crap. Gina, I didn't know where you were going.
Okay, usually, like, I introduce myself, and I introduce you, and then I introduce the guest.
I've been here, Kobe.
I had the thing pulled up, but there's so much
crap. Boy, she's acting like a permanent host. She's chewing you out.
Come
on, Kobe, can't you count?
I'm going to have to start yelling at Colby just so I, like, you know, fit in.
It's fine. It's all right, Mackenzie. We'll get there in a little bit. But Gina Wagner has her own special intro.
I do.
Because she's hosted and she's been here many, many times. You'll earn your stripes, Mackenzie. We'll get there. But have you found it yet?
Oh, my God. Jeez. Here we go.
All right.
We are Sex Bomb! 1, 2, 3, 4!
We are Sex Bomb, and we're here to make you think about death and get sad and stuff.
We are Sex Bomb. We are here to make money and sell out and stuff.
1, 2, 3, 4!
Kim!
We are Sex Bomb, and we are here to watch Scott Pilgrim kick your teeth in! 1, 2, 3, 4!
Especially Matthew Socey, I'm going to be putting down my Xbox and my energy drinks to review a mature movie.
Emma thinks you should really be the drummer in Sex Bomb. That's Gina Wagner over at Haunted Flower.
Hello.
Woo! Yeah, that's going to be hard to beat, that intro, man.
Well, we have a few out there. And wow. And Mackenzie's here. How are you?
And Mackenzie. Well, I feel loved.
One to show up. No.
Hey,
fine.
I made it, though.
Thank you. How are things at crowd surfing?
Oh, you're... fantastic.
Cool.
Fantastic. Yeah, we're having fun. We're doing Katy Perry. On Wednesday.
Really?
Yeah, we'll crowd surf in our concert, so it should be fun.
Oh, my.
Mm-hmm.
Get some repellent. That's going to be a fascinating crowd.
Oh, yes.
So, all right. Well, and I'm going to say, Gina, one of the reasons why I brought you back here, because, well, you chew out Kobe like nobody's business. That's awesome.
We have a special friendship, me and Kobe.
Yes.
It's awesome. And I say things
you.
And he laughs.
That's true. If Kobe's life had a face, you would punch it.
Yeah. I'd punch your life.
That's right. But thank you for filling in last week.
You're very welcome. I enjoyed it very much.
Yes, I really needed it because the move was long and big and huge, and I really needed the time. But also, I heard what you reviewed last week, and we want you to come back and review a real movie. So,
what'd you review?
I reviewed a grown-up mature film about contagious disease.
No. Last week. Last week you had to watch Apollo 18 and Shark Night 3D.
Can we give Yeah, and we didn't give away the what the monster was in Apollo 18.
No, we didn't. And I really wanted to
you can't do that. It's Tom Hanks.
I wanted to, but I didn't.
No, it's not. So we decided to watch a movie, not together, but that requires you to wear the itchy sweater. That is a sign of maturity.
Well, I still liked it because it's a disaster film with disease.
Sort of.
It's kind of, guilty pleasure of mine to watch weird disaster movies.
So you're into that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Really?
Destroy the World, I'll watch it.
So like the Irwin Allen stuff. So like, did you like Outbreak?
I didn't see that one.
Wow.
I enjoyed watching 2012 at the time.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, okay. Contagion. Yes.
Contagion?
Contagion.
Yeah.
I've just been saying Contagion.
Contagion? If you're from the region and you say Contagion, I don't know. It's the latest film from Steven Soderbergh, who's given us everything from a remake of Solaris to Apollo. Jeez, Ocean's 13.
Yes.
And Sex, Lies, and Videotape, among many others. So let's hear this contagious audio.
It was a groundbreaking ceremony for a new factory.
Did she mention seeing anyone who was sick? Anyone on a plane at the airport?
No, she said she was jet lagged.
The average person touches their face 3 to 5 times every waking minute. In between, we're touching doorknobs, water fountains, and each other.
Beth! Mom? No, go up to your room, honey.
So we have a virus with no treatment protocol and no vaccine at this time.
You had a seizure this morning, Beth.
She had a history of seizures.
No.
Allergies?
As of last night, there were 32 cases.
Unfortunately, she did die.
Can I go talk to her?
Mr. Armoff, your wife is dead.
What are you talking about?
Okay.
What happened to her? What happened to her?
Is there any way someone could weaponize the bird flu? Is that what we're looking at?
Someone doesn't have to weaponize the bird flu. The birds are doing that.
Watch this. It's transmission, so we just need to know which direction.
On day one, there were 2 people, and then 4, and then 16. In 3 months, it's 1 billion. That's where we're headed.
They're calling out the National Guard. They're moving the president underground.
People will panic.
Get away!
It will tip over.
The truth is being kept from the world.
Cook your samples. Destroy everything.
Hello. I need you to get me the names of everyone who serviced this room. It's an emergency.
You can't panic now.
I know.
I'm going to get you home.
I got people too, Dr. Cheever. We all do.
Don't talk to anyone. Don't touch anyone. Stay away from other people.
Get back in your car.
We're not sick.
It's figuring us out faster than we're figuring it out.
It's mutated.
No, you cannot bring up rock spiders.
Oh.
Or rock lobster, for that matter.
B-52s are cool.
They are cool. No, that's not. That has nothing to do with the audio you just heard. That is not the cause of the disease. The thing I was doing while watching this, and by the way, really impressive cast. Everybody wants to work with Steven Soderbergh. You have
It's ridiculous.
It's in a good way.
It's like Expendables, but not.
It's like an arty version of the Expendables.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Expendables with like serious talent.
And Oscar nominations. You have Matt Damon, Lawrence Fishburne, Marion Cotillard, Kate Winslet, Gwyneth Paltrow, Jude Law, that bald-headed guy that's in everything.
Jennifer L. John Hawks.
Yes. And yeah, so there's quite a cast in this. The thing as I was watching this was, you were talking earlier, Gina, about disaster movies and you know, science running amok and all this. Mm-hmm. Is it's try not to think of this film as that type of film. The question is not will they survive; it's how are they surviving. And because you have almost, and Soderbergh has kind of done this material before with a film like Traffic, where you have several stories sort of intertwining, but not quite. They don't really connect like Love Actually or Valentine's Day, and that's really okay. But everybody is linked in one way, shape, or form. And it's really about how they handle themselves through this. You have Lawrence Fishburne, who, well, he makes some questionable choices. I don't want to give too much away. And you have Marion Cotillard, who is kind of a pawn, uses a pawn in this. You have Matt Damon, he's immune, but he's trying to figure out how to handle things, especially with his daughter. You have Jude Law, who's the guy who makes profits off of this. I was always worried that the film was, and the film does teeter on the verge of really heavy-handed symbolism, especially at the very beginning and the very end. You get lots of close-ups of hands touching glasses and surfaces and each other. And yes, we're all contaminated. We're all going to die. We all have bugs. We all don't have an immune system. Yes, Mackenzie.
Now, I have not seen the film, so right. I want to know how realistic was it? I mean, is this, when you go to the theater, or you think, oh my gosh, this could really happen? Does it freak you out in that way?
Oscar nominees and winners walk the streets as we know it. No, it's fine. Yeah, it does. It does. Hey, there's Lawrence Fishburne. Hey.
What's up?
Loved you in Event Horizon. No, but I think the whole how people handle things, you know, how much of the government is in on it. Is there a conspiracy between the government, the pharmaceutical companies, the Russians, the mob who shot Kennedy? You know, all those things. They don't really throw a whole lot of conspiracy at you, but you get to see the machine at work. So that being said, I really enjoyed watching. Yeah, these, like you were saying, Gina, this is like the Expendables for the art house crowd, and they're all really good in it. They, you know, some get to shine maybe a little more than others, and not really given anything. If you hate Gwyneth Paltrow, you're going to enjoy the first 10 minutes of the film because her character suffers badly. So,
oh, I love Gwynnie.
So do I, but for different reasons. So anyway, Gina, your thoughts.
Well, you get to see Jude Law with really bad teeth.
Well, yeah, he's ill.
you don't
like that? Was too realistic for you? Is that it?
Well, I think they're just trying to make him look like a, you know, underhanded character. Like, ha ha, he has bad teeth. We can hate him more.
He should, well, if he had a nanny next to him.
Well, I loved how they described bloggers were like graffiti with words.
Graffiti with punctuation, as
yes.
Elliot Gould put it. Nice to see Elliot Gould. I forgot that he's a semi-Soderbergh regular with the Ocean's films.
Mm-hmm.
So.
I really enjoyed it. I love seeing the whole journey of starting off really small, getting really big, them trying to backtrack it and see where it all came from and how that was. People are like, no, it didn't start here. You have to look harder. And I just thought that was just really a thrilling film. I enjoyed it a lot. Everyone had great performances. I love Jennifer L. in this in particular.
Mm-hmm.
I just really liked her character.
And the other thing about it, like you brought up, is it's not a mystery. It's, although I'm going to try to word this properly. The very last scene, the very last moment, I don't know if it felt tagged on, and maybe because I just saw this a couple of hours ago, it's also not a film that's trying to tell you where it comes from or why. It just kind of happens, although with that very last scene, which I guess we should talk during the break, but I wasn't quite sure about if he had to do that to please the mall crowd, or because there was a moment with the Matt Damon character and the daughter, as I'm watching it, my brain went, okay, end the movie now.
Mm-hmm.
End it now, and it would be even better than it already was. And it so I don't know.
So you don't walk away satisfied?
Well, I think you do. Okay. I think you do because there. What happens to certain characters? Some characters get their due. Others, there's just like I said, the moment with the Matt Damon angle. It's a really nice moment, and I was kind of surprised Soderbergh went that far with it, but I enjoyed it nonetheless. So.
Yeah, that scene, it probably didn't have to happen, but at the same time, when I saw it, I went, aha, there, the answer. Okay.
Okay.
But it would have been a nicer ending, I think, to end on the other moment, just because it was so, you know, renewing and, you know, positive, optimistic, all those things.
Cool. It also reminded me of, I remember seeing, do you remember Swing State?
No,
with the Kevin Costner election film? Okay.
I remember it. I didn't see it.
Well, I was probably one of nine people that actually
I think
saw
a lot of people didn't do it.
No, they didn't. And there's a moment in that film where I think everybody was expecting an election result, and that was not what the film was about at all. So there was a collective groan from the crowd. I was waiting for that to happen with this crowd, but no, they were just old folks, and they like to go see movies for fairly cheap at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. So anyway, is it a date movie? Sure. Should you take a germaphobe for as a prank? Why not? That's
bring hand sanitizer.
Is that you said that on your
That's
message.
Me.
So.
I am that germaphobe.
I do.
Are you really?
I am. I just went to the Children's Museum and I wiped my daughter's hands about 600 times, like
really?
After each exhibit.
Take the child. It'll really help. She'll love it. She'll absolutely enjoy it.
Why do I have to wash my hands? Because of this movie.
Just do it.
And the boy in the plastic bubble, so which none of you are old enough to remember. So anyway, but yeah, no, seriously, go check it out.
Now that was a good movie.
And the thing I love about Soderbergh is, I mean, he's really run the gamut of really good films and not so good films. And even if it tanks, it's his. The studio's not really tinkering with it. He wants it done his way. And, you know, he's got the deal where I'll make something like Full Frontal or Solaris, and then I'll give you guys an Ocean sequel. Just let me do my thing, and then you can do this thing. So there's Soderbergh is really smart about working the system, being able to get films made. He directed this one. He did not write it. I'm hoping more people will check this out so he won't make Ocean's 14. So, you want Ocean's 14,
yes,
Kobe?
I do want
Ocean's. Really?
Yes, I do.
I enjoy, you know, like the arc, you know, loved 11, 12, 13, better. But you want another?
Yeah. Why not?
They're not going to ask you. You're gonna fill in for somebody.
Aw, do you want to be in a heist?
He wants to be in a well-dressed, fast heist film.
Scored by David Holmes.
Ah, yes. Of course you do. During the review, I should say greetings to fair sweet Bianca. That's a line from Shakespeare. all right. We should also mention some of the other films that are opening today. We have The Devil's Double, which is Dominic Cooper's film where he's playing Uday Hussein's double. And it's filled with, well, Faustian-type things. That's right. All films should be filled with Faustian-type things. And then Warrior, which is supposed to be a serious MMA boxing, MMA film from the director of Miracle. So hello, Nick Nolte, on that. And Creature, which you were going to go see and you
yeah, my,
didn't happen,
my
right,
whole
Gina?
Story was I went to AMC Castleton to watch Attack the Block. I really wanted to see that film. And when I got there, they're like, oh, we're not showing it anymore. I'm like, why not? I hear it's awesome. I want to be watching it. I don't know why you stopped today, the day I came to the theater. But they did.
They knew you were coming.
Yeah. And so I was looking over my choices. And by the time I saw Creature, I'm like, okay, last week I watched Apollo 18. I watched Shark Night 3D. I'm ready for a Swamp Thing Creature movie. This will be awesome.
But you did not watch Sharktopus.
I did not watch Sharktopus. And I'm really sad that I didn't. I wrote it down and everything. And then I didn't go back to that notebook the whole week.
Mackenzie, you're writing these titles down.
Sharktopus.
Sharktopus.
Spell it like it sounds. Okay.
Family
thanks.
Film. Family friendly right there if your family is shellfish.
I totally would have watched Creature. But then when I decided, the time had already passed. And if I picked the later time, I wouldn't have made it here on time.
Well, I'm glad you took the time to actually be here as opposed to experiencing
I could
that.
Pretend I saw it. There was a Swamp Thing in it.
No, we're not going to be the film critics that reviews films we didn't see now. We don't work that way.
I bet it's awesome.
I bet there's a creature in it.
Do we have an it's awesome clip?
No, but we do now. Now that you did that. Now Kobe's just trying to find a counter.
It's also an art film.
There we go.
Yes, eventually it'll just be one show of Kobe playing various sound clips.
Yep.
thinking we're sports radio.
That's fun.
Yes. Well, we'll save it for pledge time. Also in theaters, Laugh at My Pain, which is the Kevin Hart comedy documentary. Maybe he'll do his impression of Shaq falling down.
Yes.
And don't worry about it. Okay. And Bucky Larson, Born to Be a Star.
What? The skateboarder?
With Christina Ricci and Nick Swardson. That's
Nick Swardson. I love him, but this I think looks terrible. Did you see
why
it?
No, I didn't. Why, what makes it? What makes it was oh, here? Here it has the dreaded NR, not reviewed, meaning they didn't show it to us Creature. So what makes you think it looks terrible?
It just looks so dumb. And I love Nick Swardson. I love him, but I would never pay to go see this movie.
It's dumb.
Maybe I'd Redbox it. That's it.
The heck was that?
That was Joe saying it's dumb.
That's
nice. Now you did finally catch up on a film.
I did.
One of the bigger surprise hits from the summer, I should add as well.
Crazy Stupid Love.
And.
Okay, I'll just say I had sweet, sweet dreams of Ryan Gosling last night. I'll just go there.
He's photoshopped, isn't he?
Of course, you know, I love Emma. I love the whole cast, but I thought it was nicely intertwined. It was entertaining. I went to the Keystone Arts, the theater, for the first time. I had never been there before.
Whoa, you've really? Never been to Keystone Arts?
I've never been there. I loved it.
I've been there more than once.
I know.
Great concessions.
Mm-mm.
Yes. Real popcorn and other liquid things.
Yes.
Well, we got to work on that. We'll work. You know what we'll do? We'll do a field trip.
Okay.
So we can go up there for that. So.
But I was impressed. I really liked the film.
Now, did you accept the big thing near the end where, unlike the Soderbergh film, every single subplot comes crashing in heads on like a football player's concussion?
It was a little predictable at that point, but I went with it. I liked it. I liked the characters. I like how they developed every character. So you liked them. You felt like you knew them. They didn't do too much. I thought the casting was fantastic, and yes. I just enjoyed it.
Did you enjoy Mr. Carell's change of...
I did. Did it make you want to buy new shoes?
Only if Marissa Tomei is my daughter's teacher. But
she was awesome in
it. That's not happening right now, if I hear it carefully. My wife is laughing her head off. So, no, that's quite all right. So, yes. All right, we're going to take a short break. And we're going to talk about what is new on DVD and Blu-ray and some other nuggets, tidbits. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org.
Any good?
I don't watch movies.
Well, have you heard anything about either one of them?
I find it's best to stay out of other people's affairs.
You know who I can do without? I can do without the people in the video store.
Which ones?
All of them.
What would you get for a 6-year-old boy who chronically wets his bed?
So, do you have any new movies in?
Do you have that one with that guy who was in that movie that was out last year?
They never rent quality flicks. They always pick the most intellectually devoid movie on the racks.
Ooh, Navy SEALs!
It's like in order to join, they have to have an IQ less than their shoe size.
Just go open the video store.
Yeah, open a video store!
If you had Wesley Willis, it would be 10 seconds, really.
Yeah.
You know what? Welcome back to Film Sociology here at WFYI HD2 The Point. WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment or wondering what the heck's going on, you can email me at msoci@wfyi.org. I'm also on Facebook. Gina and Mackenzie are hanging out. Kobe and Bianca and Dan and, cute picture.
Thank you.
Which is great to say on radio. it's very loose here today because it's dreary out and we need to rest up because Penrod is tomorrow. None of you will be there. I will. That's all there is to it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So,
are you doing the blues show from there?
Well, we got the I have the blues tent sponsored by Cats and Core and PC.
Oh.
So we're gonna have music from Tyler Mack, Gordon Bonham, Duke Tomato, and Jerome Mills.
Awesome.
Music starts at it starts at 11. Broadcast starts from 12 to 4 on WFYI. But I did record the blues house party because I did do the blues show and Penrod in the same day, thinking I'm Phil Collins at Live Aid. I don't need to prove that anymore. And I have more hair, but no Oscar. I didn't rip off South Park for best song.
Great.
I didn't. And I need to, I got to share this. We were talking, I was talking off air about the move. And of course, Gina was filling in for me last week because the Soucy family have moved from stately Soucy Manor to the Soucy compound in Richmond.
Compound?
Compound. We have a compound. Because we think they're that big.
Sounds terrifying.
No, it's not. Look who the patriarch is. It's not terrifying. Now Bianca wants to chime in. Oh, let's say something at Matt's expense. Go right ahead. No. Sorry. Go ahead.
You said compound, so I thought of polygamist.
No, not
your
that.
Your mind kind of does go there.
No,
I thought of a big building with like bars and stuff.
Yeah,
keeping people in.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. Well, I can't wait to invite you guys over for the first dinner party.
I'm a little hesitant now.
No, don't be. Because Emma will be there leading the way, mocking at me. So, but anyway, basically, the long story longer is we can't actually move into the stately compound for another 5 weeks. So we have temporary housing in Richmond.
Apartment.
Are you eating during the show? Wow.
I brought cookies.
You know what?
Bianca brought cookies.
And of course, I was going to say, did you bring enough for everybody?
Yes.
She did.
Of course I did.
Fine. Pass the box around while I host the show. And I'll tell this really long, interesting story.
You can still smell them.
Coconut chocolate chip.
I can. Our listeners cannot. We're not that advanced. We're still working on HD2, okay? Anyway, so I have this temporary housing, and Emma's learned this is the version of roughing it. We're not getting cable in the temporary house, but I have the DVD player and I have or the Blu-ray player and I have the television. So the one thing Mrs. Soucy has done, and remember, she's a sitcom wife, so she knows all and is all, she accidentally packed the remote controls. And I don't feel like getting a universal remote for 5 weeks. So Emma's learned, if you're going to watch something, commit to it, because you can't really stop it or go back.
And that's what they had to do in the old days.
Did we?
Yeah, when televisions had like wood sidings on them.
where there's more wood than television.
Yeah.
You've seen these at the Smithsonian.
Yeah, little TV, lots of wood.
Right. And we had no player. But and this happened last week because I was doing the blues show, got home about a little after 11:30, and I popped in this documentary about Australian cinema. I got about an hour into it, fell asleep. Woke up Sunday morning, put the movie in, started it, showered, made coffee, made breakfast, went and got the paper. And by the time I came back, I was right where I'd left off. And that is Cool Story Bro Cinema Talk here at Film Sociology, brought to you by nobody.
Brought to you by Stakes.
Stakes. We've got to work on that.
What a story, Matt.
Thank you. Now,
what a story.
That's live. That's live, Denny. Eventually, we'll start doing Tommy Wiseau.
Lucky for you, I already ordered a pizza. Oh,
you think of everything.
Yeah.
Mackenzie, I think we're going to have to show you the room sometime.
Yes, definitely.
Okay, good. It's a film, not an actual location. Just saying.
Thanks for that.
Yeah, that's good.
It does not take place in one room like I previously believed.
But it is shot in San Francisco.
Yes, we do know that. That is confirmed.
What is it, a roomy location?
It's expensive. All right, finally, new on DVD and Blu-ray, X-Men First Class. You have Michael Fassbender, you have James McAvoy, you have January Jones, and Patrick Stewart's not in this, nor is Ian McKellen. But Kevin Bacon is, so give this a listen.
Shall be the policy of this nation to regard any nuclear missile
launched from Cuba against any nation in the Western Hemisphere as an attack by the Soviet Union on the United States. The cost of freedom is always high. No one can foresee precisely what course it will take. One path we shall never choose, and that is the path of surrender.
You ready for this?
Let's find out.
Listen to me very carefully, my friend. Killing will not bring you peace.
Peace was never an option.
Okay, so this it's the X-Men dealing with the Cold War and Kevin Bacon, and in that order.
Well, what can he do when he starts dancing?
Listen.
There's no stopping him.
Yeah, there's no stopping him, or Dennis Quaid, or John Lithgow, for that matter. Now that let's get back to this film. We'll do the what's everybody degrees of Kevin Bacon in a little bit, but. I always, and Abdul brought this up, Abdul Hakim Shabazz, my old radio friend back in AM land, formerly AM land, that this film was a lot like Malcolm and Martin when it came to how the X-Men wanted to do things. Magneto, of course, wanted revenge, and Xavier wanted to, you know, be a part of the crowd, I guess.
Let's all be friends.
Yeah, he didn't quite say that, but yes, he's darn close to it, so... I actually enjoyed this for a reboot, and because I like the revenge factor, and I like the clashing between the two guys. And there's a slew of people. Jennifer Lawrence is in this film as well. I forgot she eventually will grow up and become Rebecca Romijn. I think that's how it works.
Yeah, that's how it works.
So yeah, enjoyed it very much, Gina.
I loved Michael Fassbender and James McAvoy in this. Loved the relationships between Magneto and Xavier. I just love those characters. Mm-hmm. Would have loved it more if we could have had Patrick Stewart and Ian McKellen. But, you know, you take what you can get. And
they'll
the young
eventually
versions
do a,
are good.
They'll do a production of The Odd Couple sometime fairly soon. They could.
That's necessary.
You'd see it.
I would. See? I would see it. Yeah, I really liked a lot of this film. What I didn't like was... they really felt it was necessary. Like, we need a big ensemble. We need to throw in these mutants we've never seen before and don't care about.
And they get, like, one moment. Like, Butterfly Girl and the guy.
And at the time, I was there's way too many people here. I would rather just focus on these main two guys. And then later, since it's been all this time, since I watched it the first time, I went and looked up some stuff. There's a lot of stuff here that does not make sense in the comic book world, and they explained they really don't care. They only wanted to work with the movie world because they figured people were coming to see the movie.
Are these characters, do you think, because the film did well, and I'm assuming they're going to try to make another one, do you think these characters get more screen time then?
I doubt it. Like, Alex Summers, he's supposed to be Cyclops' brother.
Mm-hmm.
And he's now in the, you know, 60s.
I don't know. You know what? Maybe they'll take care of the Democratic National Convention 1968.
Mm.
Crack some heads, Mayor Daley.
Now, a lot of that didn't make sense. And my original problems with Mystique are still there upon a second viewing. I like her when she's badass and she's so questioning and so ashamed of her body and being blue. And she's just so blue all the time.
Being blue.
I really just wanted her to own it, and it took her the whole movie before she owned it. And even then, it's like, yeah, I'm mutant and proud. I'm blue. I just didn't buy it.
I'm sorry.
How do you really feel? Come on.
Oh, we don't have to ask her twice on that one. So.
Well, yeah, but for the extras on the DVD.
Yeah, how are they? How are they?
Okay, there's only two on the DVD. I wish I had gotten to review the Blu-ray.
Hint, hint.
I didn't.
Okay.
But, you know, the DVD features were good, better than most of them. They really went into, this is why we came up with this idea. They originally wanted to do something really stupid, which was, let's do high school age X-Men. It'll be cool.
And treat then they it realized, like Hogwarts?
Yeah, and then they realized this is way too Twilight and it's lame. So then they decided,
they actually use those words? I like that.
I might be paraphrasing.
Okay.
Then they decided, well, who are the most, you know, interesting characters? Let's take Magneto and Xavier and show them in their 20s. Okay, when would that be? Backdating it. All right, 60s. Let's make it about the Cuban Missile Crisis. That could have been mutiny. Mutanti.
That's good. That makes up for me is mispronouncing a Soderbergh film. That's good.
So that's where this all came from. And then they seriously did say, well, we need more mutants. So let's just grab random mutants and put them in here because they're cool.
Off the street.
They really did say that. They're like, you know, we don't know who to use. So let's just go through and try to find weird looking ones that can do weird things that we haven't seen before. Because that's what the audience wants to see.
The land of misfit mutants. Is that
misfit
it?
Mutants.
Yeah, let's get the angel stripper with wings. And
that's well, a great Halloween costume, by the way.
I ask for that every year, actually, on my birthday, but Mrs. Soucy says no. That's yeah, okay.
Well, certainly some of them were cool, but they really didn't fit together in the story quite as well, those extra mutants
yeah, there
on
was,
the border.
Yeah, there's a couple scenes where it looks like they're hanging out in the dorm on a Saturday night waiting for the pizza to arrive.
Oh, and that's the funny thing. Jennifer Lawrence is like, I'm so glad we got to do that because we got to show them hanging out instead of just, you know, doing cool stuff all the time.
It's
and
not
I'm like,
Clerks.
Why can't we just see them do cool stuff all the time? They're mutants. They should be being cool 24/7. I don't need to see your downtime. I really don't. I'm in a movie. I have a limited amount of time. Be cool.
She has spoken. That's
5:35.
Kobe, I think we should hit some audio on how Gina feels. That's yeah, that's pretty good.
Yes.
Despite her qualms.
How did I feel? I don't have headphones.
You enjoyed it. You
okay,
enjoyed
good.
It. You enjoyed
thoroughly.
It. Yeah, you enjoyed it despite its faults.
Over
yes.
and over again.
That's right. So
yeah, I would still watch it a third time and maybe a fourth time for at least those main two guys and my favorite one-liner.
Can you say it on the air?
No, I can't. Because it's from a certain character
oh,
that
yes,
makes
who
a
pops,
cameo.
Who pops up. And it is actually, you know, for once a cameo that works quite well.
That was awesome. I was
yes.
ready to stand up and applaud, but I was in a theater of four people.
You could have.
So you
I
should have.
I could have.
Yeah.
Yes.
I guess I was being polite.
It wasn't a press screening. We make fun of you if you stood up at a press screening.
Actually, it was a press screening.
Was it?
Yeah, there was like four of us there.
Oh. Well, I'm glad you didn't do it then, because I'd have made fun of you.
Yeah.
Be a professional.
Yeah.
Be Gina.
Yeah.
Okay, well, you know, you're on a tear, so we'll move into Hannah, another film with young women kicking tail and taking names.
Yeah, teenage assassin. Do it.
Wow. See, you're getting all sorts of clips, Kobe. This is, it's working there. So, you saw this one?
Yes, I did.
So,
I saw the DVD, too.
There
yeah,
you go. So,
good features.
So we have from the director of Atonement and Pride and Prejudice. And
yeah,
now,
so obviously you should take this girl and make her an assassin.
So it's Atonement meets Point of No Return, mm-hmm. or La Femme Nikita for you nerds out there.
And you get Eric Bana and Kate Blanchett, but you really just want to focus on the main girl, whose name I think is pronounced Sarah Sharonan.
Wasn't that a song by The Knack?
Every time
that
I say it, I say it a tiny
joke.
Bit differently.
Oh, that's okay.
That was terrible, Kenny.
Thank you, Ernie.
Yeah.
You're not Ernie. All right, so go on.
But
so
yeah, it's action-packed. It has a great soundtrack from Chemical Brothers, and I love the scene where she's running through the tunnels, like just taking out people right and left and then running through some tunnels some more. And then they actually put that on as an extra on the DVD. They're like, anatomy of a scene. I'm like, what scene is it? Oh, yeah, it's the tunnels. They're like, look, we turned the camera upside down and did all sorts of crazy things. I'm like, yeah, I'm so glad you did.
So is it like Run, Roll, Run, Lola, Run, only she's an assassin?
Yeah, she's just running all the time, going from different places, changing outfits, hiding in family's, you know,
You've
vehicle.
Seen Run, Lola, Run?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes.
What?
Yeah.
What, you haven't?
Of course I have. It's in German.
Great. I'm Hungarian-Irish. How's it going? Lovely to see you again. Mackenzie, you doing all right over there?
I'm doing just
okay,
fine.
Okay, that's fine. It's quite okay. So
I'm just listening to you guys.
I know. It's silly. So, yeah, I think she obviously enjoyed that as well, Kobe. I
Hannah,
think you
have, we're going to yeah. skip the...
No.
We're not going
to... Yes!
Okay, now we're going to go to something that I actually saw. No, I did see X-Men. I didn't see Hannah. But turning out to be one of the bigger surprises for me this spring was the dramedy or the comedy. Everything Must Go.
Comida.
Everything Must Go with Will Ferrell. And this is Will Ferrell's living on his front yard, living the yard sale dream film. So here it is.
The company has decided to make a change.
I've given 16 years of my life to this company.
The rest of the higher-ups wanted you to have this. That should just about cover it.
bro, I'll give you $10 for that twack right there.
Aren't you a little young to be drinking beers?
Aren't you a little old to be drinking that slippery there?
Hi, are you in there? If you are, can this happen another day?
So are you getting rid of your old stuff?
I got fired from my job and my wife left me.
If I'm honest, I saw this coming a mile away.
Thanks for warning me.
I've gotten some complaints about someone living on their lawn.
This is my corner. I'm not leaving my stuff.
City of Arcadia allows the property owner to hold a yard sale for no more than 5 consecutive days. This buys you 3 days.
I was thinking you might want to come work for me. You stay here, maybe sell a couple things.
What are you offering?
I'll give you bathroom and cigarette breaks as required by state law.
I don't smoke.
Good. Great. Standing at the door
of self-discovery. You know you can't live like this.
Why not?
It's not normal.
How much for this?
You want to buy that? 50 cents?
I'll give you 25 cents.
Yeah, I just can't do that.
What about these?
I think I want to hold on to those. They're actually pretty valuable. You can put them in that same drawer. Okay, so hold on. Look at them.
Once you get rid of all that stuff, you're going to feel great.
Just wanted you to know, I'm selling it. All my stuff. Feels pretty good.
Are we friends?
Yeah, I guess so.
The other kids make jokes. They say, you're so fat, you got shocks on your toilet seat.
That's mean.
You have a good heart, Nicholas. That doesn't change.
How much have you had to drink? In my opinion, not enough. You're gonna have to come with me.
I want to learn to play baseball.
Why don't you want to play soccer?
Black people don't play soccer.
Whole continents of black people play soccer.
Will Ferrell's not on the list, Kobe.
No, he's not, because he has a
full-time
pass.
He has a lifetime pass.
Lifetime pass because he was in Anchorman, and Anchorman was amazing.
What about Elf? Smiling's my favorite.
Yes, Elf is also gets him a free
pass. For those who are wondering what the heck we just walked in halfway on about talking about, is if you go to the blog,
filmsociology.tumblr.com,
Kobe has a list of what he likes to call the S list, because that's what. That's the only thing we can say, and it's actors that you have no desire to have in your life ever.
Yep.
That you've struck down with your words.
Yes.
But Will Ferrell's not on that list.
No, he is not.
Okay.
Who's the captain?
Oh God.
Who's driving the bus of the S list?
Maybe it's. I want to say either Jack Black or Ashton Kutcher.
Ooh.
Okay.
Oh, that's a hard one. That's difficult. Can I get to my review and you think about that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Go ahead. Your show.
Yes, thank you, Kobe. It's that Kobeology. Not yet. No, this is a drama with Will Ferrell, and he's done dramas before, just nobody saw them. There was a Winter Passage with Zooey Deschanel and
Stranger
Ed
than
Harris.
Fiction.
Stranger than Fiction, which I also enjoyed very well. And like another SNL alumni who occasionally does films that does not involve people living on his couch. That's Mr. Sandler, is occasionally you get a director who actually has to, I don't know, direct actors as opposed to, you know, we're just going to let the camera roll and you
say funny stuff,
do funny things,
just talk to each other and be funny.
And do 20 takes of it, and we'll take the best one, and then we'll put the second and third and fourth best on the DVD, and it's all fine. Well, that's not the case in this one. There was some comparisons with calling this Will Ferrell's Punch Drunk Love. It's not that good, and I love Punch Drunk Love. I loved the crowd being irritated by that film when I saw the preview. But Ferrell does a really good job. I mean, there are just enough funny moments, as I called it, a comedia, yeah, and or a dramedy, and. You know, the guy who loses his job, loses his wife, and is just kind of going down a bad spiral. Not as dark and depressing as, say, a Paul Schrader film, but he's really good in it. You got Michael Cena, you got Laura Dern, and you got a couple of kids, one kid in particular that he works with. And it's just, you didn't mind spending an hour and 45 minutes with this character. So, it's not Talladega Nights, and he's not, because there's for a while there were two types of films, the ones that Will Ferrell did and did not run around in his underpants or less, and this is almost an itchy sweater movie, but it's well worth checking out.
Oh yeah,
cool.
Yep.
Yes, 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 yes.
Wow, that's just kind of died there.
I get caught up in your reviews, Matt.
Thank you, Kobe.
That's a good thing.
Yes, that's a good thing. And just so I can acknowledge, and I heard her, Bianca said that we should bring up Atonement there.
I guess it's done now. He said it and done.
It's a really good film. You obviously love it, right?
I obviously do love it, yeah.
Why do you love it?
Why?
Yes.
It's a love story.
It's tragic.
It's awesome.
As beautiful as I am, Bianca, with microphones even.
Oh,
yeah,
can
thank you.
Not hear
you. Me? Yes, oh. There we go.
I thought I was speaking loud enough.
Oh, jeez. Keep going, dear. You're doing tremendous.
Well, I don't know. I didn't want to do like a review of it. I just thought you mentioned it earlier, and
okay.
I thought it was noteworthy to mention it again.
And they had pretty costumes.
They had very pretty. Oh, her green dress. That green dress that she wore.
Yeah, I'm with you on the green dress.
It was beautiful.
That's pretty tremendous.
And the diamond hair clip.
Yes. And the subway drowning, but we'll move on.
Oh, yeah.
That was bad.
That was.
Okay. Got some Blu-ray titles. Now, the question is, you know, would you buy this on Blu-ray? Because hopefully it has more special features. Or you like the film so much you just want it in a better thing. But the big Blu-ray title coming out this week, Scarface.
Really?
Say hello to my little friend.
From 1983. I saw it in theaters. I probably shouldn't have, but I did. And, bombastic, loud. I'm sorry. It's when you have directed by Brian De Palma and written by Oliver Stone, subtlety is out. And Al Pacino in his quite possibly his finest scenery chewing as Tony Montana. And Kobe, you know how you have a legitimate rap or pro athlete when they're showing their house in Cribs?
Yep. Of course. I was just thinking that.
Yes.
And of course, they have like an ode to Scarface.
You have to have
home.
A framed poster of Scarface. That way you know that you are a high-paid athlete or rap star.
Yes. Oh, or one of those lamps that has like little statues on it.
Yes.
That they sell at Spencer's.
Or a Guido.
Or a Guido. So, and I remember when this film came, it didn't do that well financially. It got critically drummed, but it has now become a part of our culture. Nobody in this room, but it has become part of our culture nonetheless. So check that out. That's a fun, loud 3 hours.
3 hours?
This thing's almost 3 hours long.
You haven't seen it, Kobe?
No, I have not.
Oh, my God.
Well, I haven't either. I didn't know it was 3 hours. That's a commitment, but I check
but it's
it
not
I
the Irish R&B band, the commitment. So I have the disc, and as soon as the library is available, that section of the library is available, I'll talk about the boxes of movies much, much later, not this week, but I'll make sure that gets sent your way.
Cool.
Also on Blu-ray, the Scream trilogy, not number four. That's
nope.
That's how to get you. You don't want that?
No, I don't.
Just watch the first one and then skip to four.
Okay, that's good.
Well, it's just in time for Halloween. That's actually a tradition at our house. We have Scream, the original, every year we watch it.
Really?
On Halloween. As we hand out candy. Yeah.
Wow. Do you wear the mask?
Maybe. No. I'm just kidding. No,
she wears the David Arquette mustache and fat suit.
Can you believe he's going to be on Dancing with the Stars?
Yeah, actually, I can.
You're like, actually, he needs it.
Is he on the list, Kobe?
No. No, he is not.
No?
No.
Not jealous of a little Courtney Cox thing?
No.
Okay. He'll Otherwise, pass. The dude from Counting Crows would be on that list, too.
He had Jennifer Aniston, too.
I know.
Lucky.
That's sad. Speaking of Brian De Palma, Dressed to Kill is on DVD and Blu-ray. That's a Blu-ray with Angie Dickinson and Michael Caine. And, okay, I have to be an old man. I have to pull up my black socks with you darn kids.
Skateboarding on the sidewalk.
Skateboarding on the sidewalk, even though it's in front of my house. I don't own this sidewalk, but it might as well have. But they're putting out a Blu-ray of the original 1971 Sam Peckinpah drama Straw Dogs with Dustin Hoffman, Susan George. I highly recommend it. Not a date movie. No, no, no. And I bring this up because the remake of Straw Dogs is coming out later this month. And you've heard me gripe about all, not say, you know, that my childhood has not been violated because of all these remakes from the 80s.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think this one's going to upset me.
Who's in the remake? Do we know?
It's James Marsden and
True Blood.
Yeah, him and Kate Bosworth.
Ooh.
Oh,
That's why it sounds familiar. Okay, now we understand it. Yeah, I saw the trailer.
Now the ladies want to see this. They don't want to see the original.
Well, the guy from True Blood is so freaking hot.
Yeah. Oh, James Marsden.
That is reason enough.
Hello.
The banner ads keep popping up on my internet browser, and I'm like, I don't know what this movie is, but I want to see it.
Guys, you're not old enough to help me.
So this isn't a date movie? The remake looks like you go to honey and be
the
like,
remake, the remake is. The remake is. I assure you the original is not. And I remember I hosted a screening of this at IUPUI a few years ago. And the original stars Dustin Hoffman as an English professor who moves into an English cottage. His wife, Susan George, Kobe.
What?
Google image.
Susan George.
Susan George, yeah. This is the part of the show where Kobe Google images old actresses from a different era. And Dan wants to see what she looks like, too. That's good.
We'll wait for the thumbs up or thumbs down from Dan.
No, we don't do thumbs because we don't want to give Roger Ebert money. He's copyright those. So anyway, but Hoffman is a kind of a meek, mousy mathematician, and some of the local English hooligans, who some of which have had a past with the Susan George character, they start to terrorize him, start to terrorize her, and then they you know, surround the house, and he finally is going to take matters into his own hands.
She's 60s pretty.
Wow, what does that mean? But not now. If 1960s Susan George plopped into the world today, you'd say no.
How about if she got a modern haircut?
What? Oh, I gotta see her.
I'm gonna.
Can you flip that around?
All right, I'm gonna finish the review. You go ahead and see what she looks like. It's all right. Wow, you're all leaving.
I'm here.
Thank you, Bianca. I'll talk to you. So what happens is the film is supposed to be. Hi, can I? You're right over there.
She's pretty.
Okay. Yes, I'll continue. Wow. I'm going to remember this group.
I don't think you invited us to behave on the show.
No, apparently not. That's all right. The point is, the film is where you have an ordinary person doing extraordinary feats of violence. And this is kind of like a history of violence. The very first Death Wish, not the sequels, not the god-awful sequels, but somebody you least expect to take matters into his own hands. Now, the scene in question, and I'm looking at three really lovely ladies, and this is gonna hurt.
Are they gonna throw things at you?
No, throw them at the screenwriter and the director, because I'm just delivering. This is not a Greek play, not the messenger. Well, I am the messenger, but don't kill the messenger. There's a scene involving Susan George and one of her men from her past, and things get a little heated, and at first she's enjoying it, and then she's not, and things get out of hand, and there's the whole, how should I put it?
Like it goes, like, accused-ish?
Kind of, but it's kind of, some people, and Pauline Kael, I think, was one of the film critics that did this, that said, the film is trying to tell you that certain ladies like to be... ... And I'm getting stone glares. So, and you're recommending this film? Yeah, I'm recommending this film. It is really uncomfortable at times. And if you've seen Peckinpah's films like The Wild Bunch and the original Getaway and Cross of Iron, it is at times a brutal film to watch. But the performance from Dustin Hoffman is really, really good. That being said, I don't think the remake is going to be nearly as complex. I think it's just going to be, you know, Corny Collins taking matters into his own hands and saving Kate Bosworth. So, and I can tell all three of you are already mentally there. So, that's fine. That's okay. Let's see. What else? What's less offensive on DVD and Blu-ray this week? 40 Days and 40 Nights? No. Big Mama's House? No. Children of the Corn?
No.
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 No. We're not talking about that?
Nope.
No. Because really, in real life, Linda Hamilton would have just pummeled those kids. T2 style.
This is true.
Yeah. Surprised she still didn't pick up Susie Amos and bludgeon James Cameron with him. The original Hills Have Eyes? What do you mean, no?
Well,
you don't like scary stuff. You don't like freaky stuff.
I don't like freaky stuff.
But you're going to watch it when my fantasy team beats your fantasy team.
That's what it is? Are you picking that right now? The original Hills Have Eyes?
No, I'm going to make you watch Hitchcock. I should make you watch something because my alma mater beat yours.
Oh, we didn't have anything going on that one.
Because you know it's bad to bet on IU football.
Oh, yes.
You're going to make him watch Hitchcock?
I did last year.
Yeah.
He watched Psycho.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Well, what's the next title in mind?
I know.
I'm not telling you yet.
Strangers on the Train.
I want to know.
Let's see. What else is on what else is on Blu-ray? Yeah, it's not going to be one of the light ones. The Kane Mutiny with Van Johnson, Jose Ferrer, a great performance by Humphrey Bogart, and my pick for best film of 2006, and not enough people saw it.
Sunshine.
From 2006? Little Miss Sunshine? Is that what you're thinking?
No, I was thinking Sunshine.
The Ralph Fiennes Hungarian film?
Everyone saw that one.
The one
yeah, me. I brought it. No, you're talking about the Danny Boyle sci-fi movie?
Yes.
You saw that?
Oh, my God, yes.
It was just freaky and scary.
No, it's not. Oh, it's so awesome, though, because it's space.
What movie is this?
It works space.
This is the film Danny Boyle did before Slumdog Millionaire, and it's Cillian Murphy, right?
I don't know.
You saw it.
I don't know these people.
Oh, gosh. And you're the producer of the film show, which is why we have your segment, which we'll get to maybe if we have time. But that's one. Yeah, not enough people saw it, and because it was labeled as from the director of Trainspotting, but that really
I never
caught
on to what the title of it was.
Sunshine.
Right. That was your pick from 2006.
No.
Oh, he just led us astray.
Three sideways later.
I'm like still waiting.
Well, and it's kind of appropriate that because of Sunday, but United 93.
You
said that was the best one.
That was the best film of that year. You bet. Absolutely.
Cried my eyes out.
Yes. Yes, you are. So, and it helped that it came out before World Trade Center. But probably that and Bruce Springsteen's The Rising are the only two pieces of 9/11 inspired art that matter. So take
Dan
that, Toby Keith. Take that. Stick it.
He's terrible.
So, yes. But anyway, so that's also out on Blu-ray. Also, not a date film. That's not popcorn with the kids. Sort of thing. Not at all. So, how you doing?
I'm good. How you doing? You want some more of my cookie?
You got that right, Kobe?
Yes.
That's a part. Congratulations, Mackenzie. You've now become a part of the show lexicon. She means actually chocolate chip and coconut. And
Mrs.
I
Sosie, legit. We have a cookie right here.
Mrs. Sosie. Yes, Mrs. Sosie is legit. So
it is 5:56.
Okay. That being said, why don't we plug? So shamelessly plug. Tell us what's
all
going on. What are you doing next, Mackenzie?
Let's see.
You've been so patient.
No, I love it. I love hanging out with you. Comcast. If you have Comcast, channel 81 or on demand, check out Crowd Surfing. I was just at the Heartland Film Festival sneak peek, which was awesome. We do tons of events, and next we're doing, obviously, we do an array of things because Katy Perry concert is next, so right. I'll be there. And then, of course, I'm over on Indie's Music Channel, channel 19. I do Celebrity Fix. Get your dirt, the gossip.
Uh-oh. Like that. So,
yeah.
Okay, Gina, what's going on at Haunted Flower?
Haunted Flower is awesome. We just gave away X-Men First Class DVDs,
which you talked about at great length.
Yes,
which
I
is
did.
Cool. Yep.
Yes, I did. Lots of new reviews at hauntedflowerreviews.com. And then over at indiemojo.com, we have a screening coming up for 50/50 on Tuesday. So get over to the site and sign up to get your passes.
That film is coming up very soon, as well as Moneyball. And don't you wish all baseball executives look like Brad Pitt?
Yes. Probably.
But they don't. So they look like doughy white guys and occasionally doughy non-white guys.
Doughy.
Doughy. But we're large enough to have sitcoms with hot wives. Hi, Bianca. How you doing? You all right over there?
I'm great.
All right. Dan, all good? My man.
Just Kobe, are you checking in with everybody?
Yeah, I think so. Okay. Do we have enough time for your segment or no?
Leave out your intro.
Let's run through it. Here we go.
And now it's time for What is Kobe Watching?
What is Kobe Watching?
Wow, hey, we got a segment here. Got a segment. So
yes.
you watched Anvil, the story of Anvil.
Yes, watched Anvil.
You enjoy it?
Yeah, I did.
It's a Canadian documentary about a metal band. It's kind of a realistic version of Spinal Tap. And you don't have to be a fan of Anvil appreciate this.
You do not.
They have some good, funny stuff, and they have some sad stuff, but it's two long-haired Canadian metalheads that still believe in the dream. And that's something. I think it's time for Words to Live By. It's a short segment this week.
Silent Breed is people!
Zardoz has spoken.
I don't even have time to read this article in The Onion. Area woman's baseless hatred of Anne Hathaway reciprocated.
Yes, I saw
what?
That.
So, Gina, Mackenzie, Bianca, thank you for hanging out with me. We should do this again very soon with a gallon of mimosas.
Yes.
Dan, Kobe, I don't know. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point. See you at Penrod and WFYI.org. We go.